Well, with the better weather upon us, perhaps you're thinking about getting out for a game of golf. Golfers play in any weather though, don't they? If you are blind or partially sighted, there's loads of opportunities to play for fun or in UK tournaments or even international tournaments as well. Well, today we are chatting with Jim Gales. Jim, thanks very much for joining us. We talk a lot about blind golf because it is a massive global game, but still room for newbies who perhaps never played the game before in the past.
That's right. We've just signed up to a new organisation called World Blind Golf, and that group is bringing on youngsters around the world in countries like Costa Rica, Thailand, Australia. And we've just signed up to a new programme where our hubs, where anybody can come along and learn about golf and get a little bit of tuition and stuff like that. That's all now part of this international programme. And hopefully from that, we can develop some youngsters, young adults, and bring them on and play in international teams like the Phoenix Cup.
Now, for those who are blind or partially sighted even and never picked up a club before, is it a difficult game to begin with?
It can be. I'll use myself as an example for that. I'd never played before. I met a guy who said, would you like to try? And I said, well, okay, go on. He got me half a dozen clubs, which come out of the arc, I think, got me some lessons. And the guy that was the teaching professional that day is still, well, he's still seeing, but he's also still teaching. And we meet up about once a month and fine-tune those silky skills of mine.
And as you say, Jim, blind golf is played around the world. In fact, we've got Glenn with us, who is in Canada. Glenn, how did you get involved in the game?
I grew up in a golf family. My father was in the Canadian Air Force up until the late 60s, but had been a competitive amateur golfer, and he decided to leave the Air Force, study to become a club professional, and he was a club professional for probably 40 years. So by the time I was 5-6 years old, I was hanging around the golf course all the time.
Was it a game you kind of naturally fell into, I suppose, with all that influence?
I suppose, but I was born legally blind, so it was a bit of a slow start for me. I could putt and I could chip fairly close to the green and still see the ball, but anytime I hit the ball with any kind of speed at all, I just lose complete sight of it and don't know where it went. You know, golf can be simply described as hit the ball, find it, hit it again. But I had a lot of trouble with the find it.
A game that anyone could pick up, or even, you know, if people have had their sight and lost it and perhaps played before, you know, they can take up the clubs again.
Yeah, I mean, I personally was in my late 20s, I think, when I took it up some considerable time ago, sadly. But the essential part of any blind or vision impaired golfer's game is a good sighted guide or coach. And their job is to not only take you around the course or to the course, but also to stand up on maybe a strange tee and describe the hole.
Most often I'm guided by my wife. She describes herself as an enabler. She's not a golfer, but she enjoys the travel and the social aspect of blind and disabled golf. On the tee, she'll take my club before I hit and point out an appropriate direction for me to aim. She'll describe whether there's going to be out of bounds or water hazards, anything like that. And then, of course, she'll track the ball, give me some feedback in terms of its direction and how much it might have curved left or right, because that feedback's really important to adjusting your game while you're on the course. And then most of the time when we get close to the green, she doesn't help me personally much on the green. I will pace off my putt. I hear a lot of people talk about the grain on the green. I don't see that. I can't really see how closely mown or shaggy the green might be. So usually takes me a couple of holes to get used to the speed. But other than that, I'm pretty self-sufficient on the greens.
And Jim, from taking it up, you know, whatever age, I suppose, as well, you can play for fun, but you can play competitively as well. And you know, SDGC does give you that opportunity.
Yeah, we just brought on a new member just a couple of months ago who was an extremely good single figure handicap golfer while he was fully sighted. Very quickly, almost overnight, he lost his sight totally. So it was a case of the first thing to do was to regain his confidence. He was, a very good golfer, but even striking the ball went out the window. There was no way that he was going to get back into it, and it was just a case of getting him some tuition with a professional and trying to rebuild that confidence. That was the main thing. You know, from being a very good golfer, he went back to absolute basics and had to as though he was starting to walk again. You know, he was starting to take up the game from afresh. All these boys and girls that are coming in through the connection with World Blind Golf, through connections with Glenn in Canada and other organisations and countries, we can move blind and vision impaired golf on even further.
We mentioned that, you know, that chance to play internationally and play in tournaments. I mean, what have we got coming up this year where you may have guys from Canada taking part in as well?
We have the Phoenix Cup, which is much like the Ryder Cup, Solheim Cup for ladies and gents. We have mixed teams from around the world. We've had 18 different countries involved in the lifetime of the Phoenix Cup. This is the 30th this year. And a little bit special, we are playing the new Old Course and the Jubilee at St Andrews, the home of golf, in October. So we've got teams made up of guys and girls from the United States taking on a European team. And because our membership in Scotland is extensive, we've brought in other countries as well. We've got guys from Canada, various parts of Europe and the home nations, Pakistan and places like that as well. So it's a, I suppose, if you want to be pedantic about it, it's a world taking on the USA.
And Glenn, are you going to be part of the Phoenix Cup this year?
Yes, I am. I'm happy to be playing on the European team.
What do you enjoy about your playing in tournaments and playing abroad as well?
Well, the travel itself is typically enjoyable, but I just find that blind golf, and more recently for me, sort of all abilities golf, which I've been participating in more over the last 5 years or so. But blind golf is still a relatively small community, and so you're getting together with people that you've known for decades. I first met Jim in 2002 at a blind golf tournament in Winnipeg, Canada, and you know we've continued to stay in touch ever since. So going to play an international tournament like this is really an opportunity to connect with friends from around the world and to make a few new friends.
Jim, a great social side to the golf as well. You know, whether you want to play in tournaments or whether you just want to play for fun, that there's a lot to gain from meeting other people.
Yeah, this is it. And what we should mention is actually the very first Phoenix Cup, which took place in Canada. And Mr. Babcock there was the main man when it took part. And we had a major sponsor ready. Everything was lined up. I was pulling together a team from around the world, including countries like Australia, South Africa, most parts of Europe. We were traveling across, and unfortunately, we lost that sponsor. So it was a case of all hands to the pumps, and we had to try and not only bring in new funding, but try and get people together. And I think looking back at it, because we had to use places like a college campus for accommodations and catering and things like that, brought our teams much closer together. You know, people that were living nearby threw in a barbecue one evening. And we got everybody together there. So the social aspect became part of it. It was a fantastic event. And we did manage to get things turned around and well organized in the end. Although I think Glenn might agree it was a bit of a struggle for some considerable time.
What do you enjoy about the game then, Glenn? What keeps you coming back to the green?
When I was getting married, my father took my wife aside and explained to her that golf was an addiction for me. Which I guess is the case. I really love the personal challenge of it. I just enjoy the continual effort to improve. I'm extremely lucky these days in that my wife and I, when we moved to Nova Scotia, we got a house with a large enough garage that I was actually able to put a golf simulator in my garage. And I literally played golf or practiced every day over the course of the winter, which I've never been able to do in Canada.
Now you're just showing off, Glenn. What about yourself, Jim? I mean, you came into the game in your 20s and you've been playing for quite a while now. That doesn't make you sound really old, but you know what I mean? What keeps you coming back?
No, it's all right. Just to throw in the insults. I'm quite happy. Don't worry. I can take it. You know, I've got a pack of tissues here. No problem. Yeah, I think, as Glenn says, it's the continual challenge. You could go out and have a game, a social game, or a competitive game, and put in your best score ever. And you think, brilliant, you know, all I've got to do is do the same tomorrow. And I've got this cracked, and it's the worst thing you could possibly do. because there's never, ever 2 days the same. Just last week, there was guys shooting 62 and 61 on the professionals tour. And then the next year, they went out and shot a 75. It's finite distances for them and things like that. But it's just getting your consistent swing together for us. And to put two rounds together, par rounds even, or good rounds in a Stableford competition, it would be nice. Very rarely happens.
Jim, Scottish Disability Golf and Curling is always looking for new members, and there's lots of help and support. Even if you've never picked up a club before, there's financial support to get some tuition. If people want to find out more, how can they do that?
On the website, you can do your emails, you can do your WhatsApps and all the rest of it. There's video there, which is audio described. There's tons of information on the frequently asked questions section. News, loads of stuff about different competitions, about hubs and things like that. ScottishDGC.org.uk. You'll find us there.
Well, Jim, let's hope more people do take up the game. But for the moment, to Jim and to Glenn, thanks to both of you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Cheers.
It's been a real pleasure.